Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Renee. I've missed all of you. I would like to say that I hadn't thought I was going to do this anymore. I thought that, it was getting kind of old and stale, and I felt like we would get repetitious because we all have different things that we worry about on a constant. And I was just afraid I wasn't doing what I set out to do, was to help people that were being bullied. That's what started it. People that were being abused, not just bullied, but really abused. We spent a lot of time talking to women that lived in abusive relationships. And we had a lot of talks about health. And most of the people that join my show believe in natural health. They believe in doing things that support your immune system, doing things that keep you in a healthier place, mind, body, spirit. Having said that, I have Monica on the other line. To those of you who have never listened before and have decided to listen tonight because there's nothing else for you to do except stay home and watch the boob tube or Scrabble or whatever, or if you're young, on the Xbox. So let's bring Monica in, because Monica is the founder and sole chief cook and bottle washer of Swift Naturals. And during the last few years, she's talked a lot on the show in regard to some of her products and the goodness you get from things that don't fix one thing and create another. Like most of our antibiotics, we all grew up, if you're over the age of 60, you grew up on penicillin and terramycin and sulfur and all those kind of things. And I personally took so much penicillin as a child, I became allergic to it. They almost had to hospitalize me because for the millionth time they put me on penicillin and I broke out in hives so bad that even my throat swelled. So having said that, that's what a lot of the previous shows were about. But the biggest reason that I opened this up again is so I could let you know that we're here and we will listen. And in some cases, I want to believe that we can help. After I closed down the show, I got messages from two or three reverends, believe it or not, who told me that I was the only person, me and my regulars, were the only people on any kind of radio show that actually talked about what was happening to women in abusive relationships and thanked me for how many young women we helped and let them know that they could get help and that they didn't need to be afraid. I was so overwhelmed the day I got that message, I almost went back on the show that day. So, having said all of that, I'm going to reintroduce you all to Monica Swift and let her talk a little bit about some of the things that she's had going on while we've been off the air. And then I'm going to open up the lines, and if no one calls tonight, then we'll just spend the time talking about some of the things we can do to keep ourselves in a safer place. And it doesn't need to be, hiding, even though quarantine is a good idea if you're ill. But if you're not ill and you have to function in the real world, it's all about personal stuff, and we can talk to you about that. Hi, Monica. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Renee. So glad to be on the show with you again.
Me too. It seems like it's been quite a while, too. I didn't realize it had been so long since I stopped. Yeah, I guess I really did miss it. So.
Yeah, I missed it.
You know, what I'd... Yeah, Well, I mean, you know, and it was good for you because I think sometimes people ask you questions that made you research and taught us all something. You know, questions
right.
sometimes do that for us. You know, we don't know it's a problem until somebody shares it with us. So
right.
let's say this. Let's start out by saying that nobody is really alone. Nobody. I have a lot of elderly friends who live alone. Some of them not so elderly, and some of them in their 80s that don't have anyone with them, no caregivers, no nothing. So this
mm-hmm.
is a good opportunity for them to be able to call in and say, this is what's going on, what should I do, and maybe we can help. We don't profess to be doctors. We don't profess to be anything other than caring people who have learned a lot about health, both physical and mental. We are both
mm-hmm.
We are both moms, grandmas. We've done a lot of stuff with young people. So, you know, unless you're, you know, oblivious to what goes on, you can't help but learn a little bit just by living this long, let's face it. So
right.
we have another caller. I think I'm recognizing the number. I think it might be Carolyn Fears Williams. Let's see if that's her.
It is Carolyn.
Hi, honey. Hi. How are you?
I'm good, Renee. How are you and everybody else?
Well,
I'm
it's
good.
Me and Monica
good,
on
Carolyn.
Right now. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Monica.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
Good. How about you?
Good. Very good.
Yes. Long time.
Yep.
Lindsay
yes,
and Monica, they moved to, well, I guess you were living in Jacksonville when we went off the show, weren't you, Monica?
Yeah,
because
well,
you've been there for quite a while now.
Right.
Right.
Almost 3 years.
Yeah, I remember
oh,
when
wow.
you moved.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'd like to give each one of you a chance. Monica and I are both in Florida. So I'd like to open the floor to you first, Carolyn. And she is in one of the Midwestern states. You're in Indiana or Michigan, honey? Remind me.
I'm in Valparaiso, Indiana.
Indiana. So tell us what is going on up there. Is everybody minding their P's and Q's and doing what they're being asked to do?
Well, mainly, yes. The coronavirus is causing more of the minority that have different illness already, causing them a lot of
right.
problem across the state. So even my barbershop is on lockdown. So hopefully
wow.
the governor says that it would be lifted Monday, hopefully. So we shall see. So that's about basically what's going on, trying to do things at home by exercising and doing some writing, doing some reading, watching movies, making myself busy at home. And I have to say I'm enjoying being at home. I don't know about anybody else, but it gives me a chance to do a lot of things that I need to, you know, get done. So
mm-hmm.
I did get off of Facebook, so I'm not on Facebook anymore. And
yeah, I was going to
yeah,
say that.
So,
I realized that, too.
Yeah, so I've been off since January. I said I was going to be back on in April, but I'm enjoying myself so much, I don't think I want to get back on. So just getting to know Carol and enjoying me.
There you go. That's not a bad thing, honey. That's not a bad thing, especially since we change so much. Whatever comes our way, you know, changes us a little bit every time a new challenge comes up before us. So how do you both feel about, I mean, people call me all the time scared. For a very long time, my grandchildren kept my great-granddaughter, who is very attached to me, away from me because they got scared watching the news. We all live mm-hmm. in the same house. I prepare everybody's food. I am pretty good housekeeper, so you know, I wasn't worried about any of that, but they started watching the news and getting scared. And
Wow.
Yeah, and not wanting anybody to touch the baby, and you know, and I understood it because, my God, if something happened to her, I don't know what I would do. So that part of me got it so totally. But on the other hand, I was like, you know, you can't put her in a box, and you both eat here, you both touch me, you both use the same bathroom as some of the other people in this house. I mean, you know, we just have to take care of personal hygiene. So let's talk about that a little bit, because I think a lot of people, for various reasons, forget how important it is to practice personal hygiene. I know a lot of people who don't shower every day. Now, for me, that's like, huh? But for other people, it's not. So is that a good thing during a time like this? I mean, if it's your lifestyle, it's your lifestyle. And I'm not condemning or condoning either one. I'm just saying, in a time like this, would you both agree with me when I say your personal hygiene is the most important thing you can do for yourself?
Absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Because whenever you go out to the grocery store, okay, that kind of thing, and everybody's got to go to the grocery store, the dollar store, or something, you should immediately come home and take a shower. Get that.
Yep.
And don't touch your face, you know, all that. Even if you wear a mask, they're never good enough. Okay, even if it's a cloth mask, it's only like 40% effective. So you strip down, get in the shower, lots of soap, you're clear. You will not spread it. You know, so
exactly.
There's no reason why you can't touch the baby.
And I agree with Monica. I just want to add one other thing, too. Wear your gloves. If you don't have the, you know, latex glove, get you some winter gloves that you know, wear. And when you touching the food, because I hate to see somebody pick up a fruit or vegetable and then put it back.
Yeah.
Right.
I know.
Wear
your gloves. We see that stuff in the store all the time.
And wash your fruit in vinegar. Let your fruit and
vegetables soak in vinegar. Oh, that's a good idea. I didn't even think of that.
Vinegar.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
that's a great idea.
You really need to it's not so much as touching the baby. It's also if you have not had any disease, you know, like diabetes or anything like that, I would say yes, be careful. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have any of those things, and you're washing your hands and taking your bath and taking care of yourself. Get a baby
exactly.
Love.
Yeah, we have another caller. Hi, this is Renee. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. Who am I speaking with? If you don't want to talk, that's okay. I can just leave you on, and you don't have to say anything unless you'd like to. That's the way I feel. And, of course, I worry when I mention some of my older friends. One of them, who's 82, she had a stroke in 2014, and she's been struggling ever since. Now we found out she has an aortic aneurysm. So I worry about her. So she's not leaving her house, and she's real careful about who comes into her house and things like that. But, you know, I also have a bunch of grandchildren that are in their 20s. That work hard every day, but most of them work not with the public. My one granddaughter is a waitress, and their restaurant closed immediately, so she's without a job right now. And there's a couple other people that were working in public places that are family that can't work. Now, my daughter-in-law, Valerie, she is the switchboard operator at St. Mary's Hospital. It is a huge hospital here in Palm Beach County, and it's got you know, it's one of the biggest and one of the most formidable when it comes to the variables of what kind of people are there. You know, you spoke a minute ago about minorities, and I would say they have a big influx of minorities because they're over in near Riviera Beach, and it's a beautiful town, but it's a very mixed neighborhood. Now, what happened recently, she's in the switchboard room, and her boss has a little office outside the switchboard room, and he comes in, and he's got a cold. And he stands behind her and sneezes, and she's, like, mortified. Uh-huh. And they're friends. They're friends, you know. And she says, oh, my God. She says, are you all right? And he says, oh, I've just caught a cold. And then goes over and says, oh, do you want your lunch? And pulls it out of the refrigerator and hands her lunch. So she's like, you know, she doesn't even know what to say because, you know, they care about each other, these two people. So next thing she knows, he's been sent home, and they're all told that he won't be back to work for 2 weeks. So she calls me or texts me, panicking. I said, well, they have to tell you if something's wrong. They have to test him and make sure that everything is all right. Otherwise, any of you that have been close to him could be in jeopardy. Nothing like that took place. Nothing like that. She came home that day. Yes, they sent in housekeeping and wiped everything down, and so far so good. And she came home and stripped down and took a shower and threw all of her clothes in the washing machine and did all the stuff that she knows how to do. But imagine how scary that was for her the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Just the rest of that day. Yep. I mean, because after that, I think she got a handle on it. But imagine that. And I'm mortified because all this talk, all this stuff on the news every day, practically, at least 2 hours every day, about what you have to do. And then the powers that be don't do it. The people who are in a place, that's what bothers me the most about stuff like this, is the leaders, the people that are in a position that can say, okay, he went home, we're having him tested, and I'll let you all know if there's any jeopardy or if you need to be tested or if you need to go home and quarantine until we're through this. I mean, isn't that what they're telling us they're doing on TV?
Yes. And mm-hmm. Renee, I have one daughter. I text inspiration words out to all of my family every morning. And
right.
I have one,
yeah, I remember you
doing
that.
And I have one daughter that she is very afraid of this virus, and I told her, you're watching too much TV, honey. I said, cut back on that. Watch some movies, not the news. So
mm-hmm.
I said,
that's a good point.
So Monica, I'm gonna say this. I'm joined Pure Herbs through Dr. Dawu in Hawatha through Fortress, but so I have her on spirulina, mulla. I have her on astragalus. Yes.
Astragalus.
Okay. All that for the lungs. Because Dr. Dawu, he teaches on Wednesdays in Fortress and sharing with us what to do for our lungs and protecting ourselves against this virus. And
mm-hmm.
so I'm sharing with her, and she's taking everything. First, she was taking all of it at one time. I said, no, you know, separate it, you know.
Yeah.
She is so afraid of everything. So
I've been doing a lot of research on COVID-19. And there's like three people who have come up with this, and I heard it again yesterday because I watch MSNBC like 24/7 practically. But what they're doing and what they started doing in Italy, and they're finally finding out that it is helping, but you don't want to wait until you're on a ventilator to do this.
Right.
And that
okay.
is lay on your stomach, stretch out your arms in front of you, and breathe in. Hold it for 5 seconds. Breathe out. Deep, deep, deep. The most of your lungs, like 80% of your lung capacity, comes from your back. You think it's in the front, you know, people clutching their chest. No, it's in your back. And that's why you got to lay on your stomach and do deep breathing exercises. And if you don't want to lay on your stomach, lift your hands, your arms above your head to open up your airways. And that is another way. Mm-hmm. To, even if you were to get, say you got it, but you're still healthy enough, you're not going to go to a hospital, it's still going to be painful. It's still going to be real painful, but you've got to lift your arms above your head and do these deep breathing exercises, and then when you lay down at night, especially sleep on your stomach so that your lungs have more capacity to get that air in and out. And they started doing that in Italy. They're doing it now in New York. They're putting those people on their stomachs now when they're on the ventilator. And it's helping them.
That's some good information because I've been meditating more and deep breathing and stretching.
Well, that's important for your mental health, too. And that was something else I wanted to make sure we touched on, because sadness, depression, anxiety are like the biggest, problems with being closed up and not having anything to do with your time. And, I mean, Facebook is alive with people singing and dancing and doing tricks or cooking something new. And a lot of my friends are saying, oh, my God, my closet's clean for the first time in 15 years and all this stuff. These are healthy people. These are healthy people.
Yes.
These are people who are getting out of their own way. But then there's the ones that can't, that need that guidance, that need somebody to say, you can't just sit here all day long and feel sorry for yourself. And, of course, the other part of that has to do with your nutrition, your breathing. I mean, because I'm heavy, I didn't realize until I met breathing teachers what a lazy breather I was because I'm fat. And I was like, that's true. A lot of times I'm engrossed in TV or I'm engrossed in a book or I'm doing something that I'm not thinking about, and I'll realize it's been several seconds that I haven't breathed. Because we do that, especially if it's something that gets our attention and tenses us up a little bit. So breathing, lots of water, a little bit of sunshine if you can, and keeping yourself in a good frame of mind. Now, I've had a very stressful weekend. This morning, I got up really early because toilet paper is still, you know, like a thing of the past here in South Florida. I stock up anyway because there's a lot of us, so I was okay for a while. But then by the time I went to look for it, there wasn't any on any cupboards, none.
Wow.
So about every 3 days, I go out and, you know, I put my mask on, do the whole thing, and I go to the store and get milk and get bread and some more products for meals and lettuce and all that kind of stuff for salads. And I got out of the store today, and it was tough because there was no toilet paper, and people are cranky. And my little favorite cashier, who is very crippled since birth, who works at Walmart and has been there for 30 years, was in almost tears because people are being so mean to her, yelling at her because they want more packages of this. And she says, I don't make the rules. She said to me, Renee, I'm thinking about taking a leave of absence. I've never done that in 30 years.
Wow.
So I'm a little bit stressed thinking about her and everything because she puts so much effort into it, and she's the best cashier I've ever met in my life. She tightens my bottles when I buy a bottle of something. She makes sure the cap is on tight. I don't even do that for myself. And, you know, so I walked out and I was kind of stressed, put the top down on my car, turned on my music full blast. The sun was shining. There was no rain that time this morning. And just sang my little heart out all the way home. And I felt 100% better. But if you can't do that, you have to think of something that does that for you. You have to think of something that does that for you. Lift yourself up. If it's music, it's music. For some people, it's crocheting. For some people, it's thinking of another magical herb that they can mulch up and make other people better, Miss Monica. Or somebody you can take in off the street, Miss Carolyn, and bring them to a better place. And, you know, we all have things that float our boat, and it's important to remember what those things are. But before I forget, something that you just talked about, the breathing, you know, my mom died of lung cancer. So when she was at her worst, and, I mean, we never had her. She had oxygen when she'd go to the hospital, but this is a long time ago. You know, this was, I don't even know, 30 years ago, something like that, maybe more. And she would get so she couldn't breathe at all, and she'd be laying there. So the doctor brings me in and tells me that I have to have her lay on her side on the bed, and I have to kneel down on her belly side and put my hands on the lower part of her lungs, cup my hands, and keep paddling my hands up and down her lungs. Mm. And that would loosen some of the congestion so she could cough. And I did that for the last month of her life several times a day. So ironically, you know how the nurses every now and then on Facebook, the nurses are putting things on that they think are important for people to know. And that was one of the things they said, paddle in somebody's back. They didn't say you had to lay down on your side. Of course, they weren't talking about people who could still walk and stand up, and that was not my mom by that time. So, but they showed cupping their hands and paddle in the lower back. So if you're just starting to feel congested, and you know you might have, maybe you've been a smoker all your life, maybe you've been somebody who struggles with bronchitis or asthma is another one, all those things, that is a very, very helpful thing to do. Of course, you need another person is the only downside. So if you're living alone, that makes it kind of tough. But for those of you who have, you know, a partner or a kid that lives with you or a brother or a sister or something, that's very, very beneficial. What Monica shared about on the belly and paddle in the lower parts of your lungs, because that's one of the first things that happens when you get this virus. According to everybody I've talked to, you feel like somebody has got you in a bear hug and you cannot fill up your lungs with air. So
yes,
all of that stuff is important.
One of the things is important too is the, don't forget the meditation. I did join this Palon. Oh, what is? I'm gonna spell it. It's Pelton. Payton. I joined them, and they do meditation with you. They do stretching with you. They ride bikes on there, and you could do that, or you could just do the strengthening exercise. So, and also my WCA, they also is doing exercise online. So it's different people are doing exercise online that you can do with every day.
Right.
So that
right.
Is,
well,
that
even
is
sitting in
a
chair
lesson.
And marching your feet. Yeah, even if you're just sitting in a, like a dining room chair, not an easy chair or a recliner, but an easy straight up chair, like you put at your dining table, and you sit and you march in place. That just gets your blood pumping and you know, can actually help you a lot more than you can imagine it can help you. How do you both feel about, how do you both feel about going out? Both feel that as long as, honestly now, as long as you have on the mask and the gloves, but you've got issues, You're not totally healthy, but you get around, but you know that you've got, you know, chronic lung stuff going on. Maybe you've got asthma. Maybe you've got really acute diabetes for your whole life, maybe, you know, diabetes 1, which is really difficult, and or any of those, or heart. Maybe you've had congestive heart failure, something like that. How do you feel about those people taking a chance with a mask and with gloves going out?
You know, I don't feel fearful. I don't feel threatened or anything because I have my gloves and I have my mask. And
mm-hmm.
and I try to talk to people when I can, talk to them about being careful and washing hands, because I went into Walmart and this young lady used the bathroom and I'm washing my hands and she just walked right past. I said, "You did not wash your hands and you're touching that door." And she just looked at me and walked right on out.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't wash the door. I wouldn't wash the door.
Wow.
Now. And then I got my paper towel, opened the door. But I am stressing to people, wash your hands, wear your mask. So,
mm-hmm. I'm not threatened by that. I really want to know how you feel for them. I want to know, like, if somebody listens to this show later when it streams on Facebook and wants to see what we said, and the person that's listening now that hasn't let us know who they are and things like that, if they are challenged, do you think that they're safe, even if they have the masks, even if they have the gloves on, and even if they go home and scrub from top to bottom, do you think they should take a chance on going out, or do you think they're somebody who should stay quarantined and keep themselves safe if they have those other health issues?
It's hard to know. It's really hard to know. I mean, Lindsay, my husband, he's got mm-hmm. high blood pressure, born on the same day as Urini. So
I know.
Yeah, okay. So he's getting up there, well, comparatively to me. And he
mm-hmm.
also had that heart surgery when he got in the car accident, and he had a torn aorta, so you know, he's got issues with his aorta.
Yep.
So, you know, he's definitely afraid. And there are times when he has to go out, like, to go pick up a prescription or whatever. And he's wearing his mask. He's wearing his gloves. He's maintaining 20 feet away from all people. He'll walk the other way. You know, so he's really careful. And he'll
Good for him.
Home. Yeah, he'll come straight
mm-hmm.
home, and he'll go into the shower. He'll peel off his clothes.
Yep.
They go in the washer, and he takes a shower. Anything he brings in the house, we spray it down with bleach water and wipe it down. You know, so
mm-hmm.
he's
mm-hmm.
real careful, and he hardly ever goes out. I'm definitely the shopper, and I miss going out shopping. Other than that, I'm happy as a clam to stay in the house. But
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
when I do, he's right there. Get in the shower, hurry, get in the shower. And I'm like, come on now. But yeah, so if they've got issues and they can get their food brought in, delivered, whatever, or they've got people who are willing to help them, then, yeah, they should stay home if they have bad health.
That's what they should be doing.
It's all unknown. These doctors, these researchers, they don't even know, you know, if the people
mm-hmm.
who have had it are immune from getting it again. They don't know.
Yeah.
So it's better to be safe than sorry, you know. But if you think about it, and I'm sure you know, there are so many people who don't even believe it's any more different than the flu. It's no different than the flu. They're telling me, and they look at you like you're crazy wearing a mask and gloves into the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten
mm-hmm.
better. You see more people, But when I was wearing a mask, I mean, it's for like the last month, my husband and I, we'd get some wild looks, you know, like, you're crazy. But no, you're crazy for not trying to do everything you can to keep it, you know, so that you don't get sick. So
absolutely.
Exactly.
And I have made my nephew and myself some homemade masks. My daughter made me one as well. And I made one. I put a towel inside of it, you know, one of the thin towels. And then I don't like the rubber bands to go around my ear, so I get the one that's the string inside, and where I can tie it behind my head. So I like making masks now.
I just wear, you know, those. They look like a long. They look like a long tube that you put over your hair to get all your hair away from your face, and you just, you know, pull it over your head and then pull it back, and you can wear it scrunched up like a headband, or you can do whatever you want. That's what I've been wearing. It's light, and I wear glasses, and of course, if you wear some of these masks, by the time you're in a store for 3 minutes, your glasses are so fogged up you can't see, and I'm too blind to go without them, so this is working pretty good for me. It's very light, and I feel like I'm protecting people from myself as well as vice versa, in case I should clear my throat or cough or sneeze or who knows what you're going to do when you're walking through a store. So, but today when I went out shopping, I had to go to Walmart, and they didn't have toilet paper. I ran into a friend at Walmart, and her husband said, "Renee, go to Target. They have it every day." I said, "Target? I never shop at Target." But I went by, and all those stores and the Publix that is close by me has signs now at their front doors that says you can't come in the store if you don't have a mask on. They don't say anything about gloves, but you have to have a mask on.
Good. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's going to help a little bit. Anyway.
This is the world we're living in now, that you got to wear a mask.
Okay, so like, how about, again, how about the people that are, how do you both feel about people that order takeout to be delivered to their house?
Well, personally,
Do you have qualms about that?
Yes, I have qualms about it, because right now, I'll say, for the people that are working, the nurses, the doctors, the policemen, and all these public figure people, I say good for them. They can have that. But I have food at home. I cook myself, and I don't want to order anything where somebody might be catching a cold or something, handling my food right now, or coughed over it and gave it to me. And right now, I just feel a little bit safer knowing what's going into my food and preparing it myself.
Same here. But I'm kind of like that anyway, but more so right now.
Especially since, I don't know, that's what they're talking about today is the Smithfield plant in, I don't know, Minnesota, Wyoming, one of those real northern states that they closed down because something like 300 people came down with COVID. Those people, you know, who knows if they're wearing the mask? Has that meat been shipped out? You know, I mean, well, it could
be. Absolutely.
I know. And then you think about fast food workers. They're not wearing a mask. You know, I mean, who knows? And they're supposed to be wearing gloves, but you just never know. It's so much better to cook, except a lot of these young people, these young wives, they don't know how to cook, you know. So
I know.
I'm on a couple of groups on Facebook, you know, Southern cooking and all this, and they're like, "How do you make mashed potatoes?" You know, and I'm right on there. I'll tell you how to make mashed potatoes. But you know, it's so funny.
It is.
People starve to death without fast food and restaurants and all that.
It's true. That's true. Go ahead, honey.
Go ahead. I just told a young lady to go to YouTube because she was asking me for so many recipes. And I said, go to YouTube and put in vegan recipes. I said, it'll come up for you. I said, and they'll talk you through it. So,
yeah.
Well,
I said to one of my daughters-in-laws, I said, are you watching the commercials with all these wonderful people that are preparing food for everybody and doing curb service? And she goes, yeah, isn't that nice? And I said, have you seen gloves on anybody in the commercial?
Mm-hmm.
She goes,
yeah.
I don't know. And I said, no, you haven't. Nobody's got gloves on.
Exactly.
Is that really what you want to eat today? I mean, and I never thought about it before, but I'm sure it happens all the time. I worked in plenty of restaurants, and I handled salads and toast and everything. We never were asked to wear gloves. Never.
Nope, never.
Were you ever wearing gloves, Monica? Me either.
Never.
The chef in the back was gutting the chickens. Yeah.
When I'm doing a demo, I wear gloves, and I really does not like when I see people demonstrating how to prepare a meal, even on TV, they don't have gloves on.
Mm-hmm.
And that bothers me.
I know.
Because
Carolyn,
I would not eat
their
food.
Did you think about it doing that 30 years ago, 40 years ago?
You know,
did I
wear gloves? I've been wearing gloves since my children were small, preparing food, because sometimes I don't like onion smell on my hands. So
I kind of like that smell.
Not my hand. And you know, so I keep a box of gloves. I've been keeping a box of gloves forever, and it didn't shock me when we had to wear gloves because I keep boxes of gloves at my house.
Wow, that's
and
really.
Whenever
I have gloves here too. But that's because
I
fix a lot of boo-boos around here. Yeah. Well, I've always had gloves around because it seems like every time I turn around, I'm helping somebody clean up a dog bite or something. So that happens around here a lot. But, not in the restaurant business. Us waitresses, and we touched as much food as the short order cook, maybe not as much as the chef in the back of the place. They usually wore gloves, but nobody else did. And, of course, that's the sign of the times.
I've worked in a lot of restaurants, never wore gloves. And I worked in back of the house in Greek restaurants.
Yeah.
They never wore gloves.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a problem with the last 15 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I like beets, and beets get on your hands. They stain you. And so I wear my gloves. Mm-hmm. When I was on Facebook and I was doing demo of how to prepare food, I would have my gloves on. So I know people would wonder, why is she wearing the gloves? Or do you have your gloves today? And I would say, I got my gloves.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe gloves are very important.
They definitely are now. But the Greeks that I worked for, when you handled an onion or did anything like that, there were cut up lemons near our salad bar, and we were supposed to wash our hands with lemons before we touched anything else. But no one ever told me I had to wear gloves. And that's corporate stores, that's private stores, or restaurants, everything. But you're right. Now it's a little bit different because now it's pretty much mandatory because of what your hands have on them. Even if you're the cleanest person in town. However, that's my point. When I watched, I mean, one of the local restaurants here, they're giving food to homeless people, and I'm watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this big heavy set chef back there, no gloves, no towel even in his lapel, no apron on, for that matter.
Mm.
And I'm like, yeah, no thanks, I'll pass.
Yeah.
But,
absolutely.
All right, so what else do you think we can share with people to really keep them safe? Really keep them safe. Of all the things that you think is the most important, I'm thinking you both think masks are the most important. Is there something else?
Well, I would say stay at home.
Yeah.
And you know what the thing is? Mm-hmm. With me, I'm an introvert. My husband is an introvert. We're very happy being away from people. But like my sons, they're extroverts. They've got to have people around them. And there's a lot of people like that. And that's why they're going through such depression and anxiety, you know, that kind of thing. And all I can say about that is get on Skype, do FaceTime, talk to people.
Yep.
You know, talk
How about
to
write
anybody.
A book? How about write a book?
Yeah. Write your thoughts down.
Keep it busy. Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
one of the most scary things I've ever done for myself is start writing a book. I mean,
yes.
I remembered things that I haven't thought about in 40 years. And it was good for me to write it down and then read it later and cry or laugh or whatever I needed to do. It was very, very therapeutic. I tell people to write journals all the time, especially people that are having difficulty in forgiving themselves for past indiscretion or whatever. You know, they need to write it down, read it, realize that, you know, you're still here, no harm, no foul, get over it. Because somebody else can't do that for you. So on that note, do you think?
Well, I got a question.
Do you think people should be doing something? Okay, go ahead.
I am writing a cookbook right now, but I wanted to find out. I have this lady that I had asked her to be my editor, and I'm writing up a contract. Do you think 10% after you pay all expenses, it's a good price to pay an editor?
I have no idea, honey. I'd be lying if I said I did. I really don't know what the going price for that would be, but I'll tell you who I could ask. That's Shelley, because that's what Shelley's been doing for Adabel Prince. She has been pretty much ever since she left Disney World. She's been doing stuff for Adabel. Adabel is the lady, I've talked about her on the show before, who does iridology and helped me with Michael, with the mind sonar and stuff like that. She's amazing. And she puts down all of her thoughts, and then Shelley edits it. And, you know, changes things, and then they talk again. So she may be a good person to find out. What I could do, so I don't have to be the middleman in that, I will text you Shell's phone number, honey.
That would be great. Thank you. Thank you,
okay.
Minnie. And
sure.
I'm glad I asked that question.
Yeah, because she'll tell you, and she'll, you know Shelley, she'll be right to the point.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she will.
Yeah. So let's get back to that, though, about the how we feel about what do you think is one of the hardest things for the people right now? The coping with the loneliness, the fear that is, you know, kind of embedded in us every time we watch something on television, or the other side of that gambit, which is lackadaisical, and I'm fine, nothing's going to happen to me, I don't need a mask, I don't need that, you know, this is all crap, they're trying to trick us, I mean, because we're hearing all that, too, at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Negative and you know, kind of like, what's the word you use for people that everything is, there's a word for it when everybody thinks everything is espionage or whatever you call it.
Conspiracy theory.
There you go. That's the word I was looking for. Conspiracy theory. And I'm, you know, I really wonder if, that causes a lot of harm, causes a lot of arguments in families. I know that for a fact. And I kind of wonder, though, who ends up in the worst shape after a big thing like this? It's like 911, right? When we mm-hmm. all went through 911, if we lived in New York City, we're still scarred. I mean, I know New Yorkers. Yeah. And now they're going through this. And I had to calm down somebody yesterday who was, she was ready to really get herself in a lot of trouble. And I said, calm down. And she says, what is wrong with people? And I said, they're scared. And everybody handles fears differently. And maybe we should talk on that as well. If you are afraid, and if you're overreacting, and if you're lashing out at everybody, you need to sit down someplace, gather your thoughts, and realize that that isn't helping you. If you're scared, talk to somebody. That's why I'm bringing the show back, so that you can call and say, look, I'm scared to death. I've got diabetes. I'm all alone. Whatever the case might be. I mean, there's a million scenarios that could be like that. But if you let it sit, you know, it's like boiling water for too long. Pretty soon, the pans just burn up and you got nothing to work with anymore.
Well,
you have to talk.
There's a lot of prayer lines going on, conference call. I mean, 5 days a week, I'm on somebody's prayer line or conference call, and it's sometimes I just want to be by myself. But I do. Mm-hmm. I end up picking my days. But there's a lot of churches have prayer lines right now because they can't have church. So a person
right.
can get connected
yep.
to somebody's church
what if
or
they,
somebody's
what if they
prayer
don't
line.
Believe in church, Carolyn? What if they think that's a crack of, you know what, also religion? What if they're one of those kind of people who nothing is real except the way they feel about it? I mean, I know people like that. I've met many.
Well, I feel that they should exercise and meditate and read because occupy their minds with, you know, a lot of people is lacking a lot of vision. And, you know, if you don't have a vision where you're going, you're going to sit still and not do anything.
Well, you know, the very first show I ever did on Renee's Heart to Heart, Shelley and I talked about Paul Harvey and how he did that special news thing, and he would always end it with, now you know the rest of the story. Well, that always meant so much to me, because I was one of those kind of little girls that if my father said, you can't do this, I'd say, why? And he'd say, because I told you you can't. And I'd say, that's not fair. You should tell me why I can't do that. And I swore when I had children of my own, I would never say, just do it because I said. And I don't do that now. As a boss, I don't do that now. I think that everybody should understand why they're being asked to do something, regardless of how you may feel about it. So when you hear some of the things that we're listening to right now, one person says this, the next person says that. We all know I'm not a Trump fan. He says things that I would like to take him in the back room and slap him three or four times and say, look, you're the president and I'm supposed to respect, but you got to help me a little bit here, you know. But I think a lot of people are afraid to ask for the rest of the story. I really do. And I think then they get really, really frightened. So when you do the prayer things, because I would have people do that because I think a lot of people get a lot out of prayer. I'm not one of them, but I appreciate what it does for other people. And if you know, like if somebody has, you have numbers or something like that, that you can call, if you want to, why don't you post something like that on Facebook?
See, I'm not going back on
some
Facebook.
Of the
not right now.
Oh,
I'm not going to say not ever, but right now I have a peace of mind. I'm in my own mind, and I'm thinking I'm a big deal right now. So I'm doing what I need to
do. Oh, good for you.
So anyway, I have in the past put prayer line numbers out there. So my page is still up. So there is numbers out there for prayer line. And there is a lot of churches right now on Facebook that, you know, have prayers.
And yeah, there's
I was on a prayer line today.
Yeah. A lot of the people out here on a lot of the people out here in the country where I live, there's like five churches down our main road, Okeechobee Boulevard, and everybody's got signs up right now, you know, get online and do service with us online, which I think is wonderful, and that will help a lot of people, there's no doubt in my mind. But I think that that's going to be good for a lot of people. I really do. I think a lot of people need that, and I hope a lot of people will want to utilize us being on the air again and take advantage of it and call in and at least get some answers in the moment or just hear other people's voices and take some comfort from knowing that, you know, we're all in survival mode and we're all doing the best we can to get along with each other and stay happy and do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And I don't think we can ask any more than that from anybody.
And I enjoy your show.
I know what it's like
show.
To be afraid. Thank you.
And your show
Thank
will
you.
Help, Renee. I enjoy your show.
Thank you. Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you. And I think you girls and, you know, you lend a lot of credence to the things we talk about because you both practice a lot of these things and you're both aware of what's going on out there. And I think it's sad, but a lot of people, things can even happen to them. And it doesn't change anything. They still get stuck in a place of unhappiness and depression and, you know, they could win $1 million and they'd figure out a way to complain about it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you meet people like that every day. And they're the heartbreakers. They're the heartbreakers.
Mm-hmm.
You look at them and you want to say, what are you whining about? My goodness
right.
sakes.
You got shoes, you got clothes, you got limbs. So what is the problem?
Really? I think about it a lot. I see some people I know, and I think, oh my God, I don't know how they do. My little friend that came to see me in Michigan, and I talk about him all the time, Adam, who was born prematurely, had lots of issues, but the worst one was they put him in an incubator and burnt up his eyes. So he's been sightless his whole life, and he's, what is he now? He's 52 now. I'm like 20 years older than he is. And we talk all the time. He lives in California. He's been hurt by other people. He's been taken advantage of many, many times. And that young man, that's the biggest kick out of telling you a stupid joke and laughing after he tells it. So it doesn't matter whether you laugh or not, right? He just makes ice cream out of sour milk every day.
And here he is.
Oh my God, he's wonderful. We just talked the other day for like an hour. Yes.
Yeah.
And I just love him. But you meet somebody like him, and then you meet somebody else, you know, who broke their fingernail and they can't go to work. You know, it just cracks me up. But I guess it takes all kinds. So I will let you both know, but I'm thinking we're going to do Saturday evenings, especially while the quarantine is in place and nobody can go anywhere, because I think we'll pick up a few new listeners and another day out of the week, but I'll let you both know once I kind of get my schedule worked on. But I'm so happy that you both came back and we spent some time together, and we'll get a chance to get Shelley on again and let her have some time to tell everybody what's going on in her world. And if you're listening, and whoever my other listener is here that's on today, thank you for joining us. But I can always be reached on Facebook. If you need to get a hold of me, messenger me on Facebook, friend me. I don't ever turn down a friend request. And let me know if there's something that you would like to hear about. Some people are too shy to talk. So God bless everybody. And please, please be careful, be wise, be smart, and don't forget to love yourselves. Thank you, girls. Love you both. Thank
All
you
right.
so much.
Love you too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Love you. Bye-bye.
Yes, thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.